Welcome back, Obsessedies. I hope you all had a great week.
Welcome back, Obsessedies.
I'm your host, Carissa.
And I'm Ashley.
And this week, I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day yesterday. Seems like this is dropping on Monday.
Oh man, that just messed me up mentally. I was like, what are you talking about?
This is actually dropping on your baby boy's first birthday.
I know, I was about to say that. It'll be Deacon's birthday.
Yeah.
And it'll be your birthday.
My birthday.
And it'll be Connor's birthday.
Happy birthday.
So many birthdays.
So many. Deacon's is the most important.
I mean, I can't argue.
Happy Mother's Day to all our obsessedies out there. It's a good thing they can't see us.
Why?
With the faces we make.
Oh, do we make pretty funky faces?
Yeah, we do.
That's funny.
So, this week, mm-hmm. I'm bringing the episode.
That is, yep. Mm-hmm. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't lead in with what you usually lead into, you know. Oh, what's your episode about this week, Mom?
No, I wasn't there yet.
Oh, where are we at?
I was about to try to bribe people into the... Okay, so I have a thing. Ready? Very important.
This is very important.
This is very
important. I really want to get a t-shirt for Dark Obsessions that says, stub your toe.
Why? Stub your toe.
Stub your toe. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm building suspense, and I'm trying to build up my sayings, but with me, like, building suspense, I'm building up my, what I'm gonna say.
You know I edit out all the parts that are just blank.
It makes me nervous. Why? Some of them are suspenseful.
They're annoying.
Oh, well, some of the ones that I do, then they're intended.
Oh,
like, in the movies, the scary movies, you could, like, you have the quiet part, and then, like, and then. Sorry. Anyways. You guys should come to the Dark Obsession site because we have cookies. Hold up a little box of cookies.
Yeah, you should. Ashley, I'll sit over there and eat them for you.
Anyways, so, Mom, what are you bringing for us this week?
Well, I'm going to bring this episode this week.
Oh my gosh, my episode. What's the genre?
It might be sad.
Oh. Oh, no. Not the sad.
This week.
I have my emotional support cookie.
Yeah, so if you hear chomping, you know it's Ashley. So this week, we're going to bring an episode that is going to be crazy. And then we're going to be like, oh, yay. And then we're going to be like, WTF.
Great. Can't wait.
I figured you would like this one.
Oh no. Why? That makes me nervous. My palms are sweaty. Knees weak.
Oh, okay. Eminem, sponsor us.
Mom spaghetti.
Okay. Are we ready? Dun, 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 dun. Boom!
Drum roll, please.
Good job.
Thanks.
This week, we are going to bring an episode that a fan suggested on Facebook. So, thank you, Tammy, for the suggestion.
Thank you.
And this case is going to make you go, what? You think you know who done it, then you don't know who done it, and then you think, yes, we caught him, and then you think, WTF.
You know what I thought of today?
What?
So, me and Avery and Devin, we've all been, like, watching Scooby-Doo and everything.
I'm trying to keep a straight face.
Anyways.
That's your ADD kicking in. We're only doing a true crime podcast, and
me and Avery. It correlates. Okay? Wait, just hold on. It ties together. So, we're watching Scooby-Doo today, and I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to guess who the killer is, and I was like, it's the girlfriend, or the wife, or whatever. Like, it has to be the wife. Definitely. No other way. And then it gets to the end, and I'm, like, stuck on it. I was like, I'm probably wrong. I might be right. Yeah, it's the wife. It's the wife. They unmask him, and it's the guy. And I was like, not the best to be trying to do these true crime things, because I can't even guess a kid's show person.
It's a good thing we're not a detective, we're just a true crime podcasters.
Like, that just, like, really messes with my brain. I'm like, okay, how can these little kid TV shows of crime and mystery, like, whatever, Mystery Incorporated, psych me out, and then I'm interested in true crime, and yeah, I would not be good. I don't know.
So this week, we're going to talk about the beautiful, lovely lady, Brittany Danielle McGlone. She was born on November 9th, 1987, to Ron McGlone and Patricia Tice. Brittany graduated with honors at Winsboro High School in 2006.
Winsboro sounds like it'd be in a book.
It's in Texas. Very small town. After graduation, she began working at Lowell's Distribution Center in Mount Vernon, Texas, and she also worked at Alco in Winsboro, so she was doing two jobs. Yeah. Brittany was the only daughter of Patricia, but she had some half-brothers and sisters. She had a sister named Hope McGlone, four brothers, Brandon McGlone, Brandon Rodriguez, Cameron Raspberry, and Garrett Tice.
Raspberry.
By all accounts, Brittany was young, beautiful, vibrant, graduated with honors. On May 3rd, 2007, Brittany left her house that morning.
Oh, this just passed. Sorry, Brittany left her house this morning.
What just passed?
May 3rd.
Yes. May 3rd, 2007, Brittany left her home for an overnight shift, telling her mom, Patricia, that she would not be coming home after work, because she would usually come home after work, sleep a little bit, go to her boyfriend's house, spend some time with him.
Aww.
So she said she's not going to come home after work. She said she's going to her boyfriend's right after work to stay there. Our mom's like, okay, that's unusual. And by all accounts that I could tell, mom did not like boyfriend.
Ooh.
And this was like Brittany's first boyfriend, and she was really in love with him. They dated, then they had recently broke up, and they just got back together.
How long were they, like, the on and off?
They had just got back together, like, 3 weeks prior to this.
Right, but, like, before they broke up.
I think they was, like, together for like 6 months or something like that. Don't quote me on that.
Quote.
So she left, she went to work, and then on May 4th of 2007, Brittany had just worked her overnight shift at Lowe's. She drove to her boyfriend's house in Winsboro, Texas to sleep. Brittany's boyfriend, Jeff Stogner, and his mom, dad, and little sister also resided in the home. Jeff states in his statement to the police that Brittany came home, it was like 5 a.m, and he was asleep on the couch. He woke her up, they went in there, they went to sleep until about 7.
Oh, that's so not very long to sleep.
Well, she stayed asleep. Okay. So
he woke up at 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff comes home with his mom about 2:30 or so, and on his way home, he is trying to get a hold of Brittany, and he can't get a hold of Brittany. So he calls her mom, Patricia, and is like, hey, is Brittany with you? And Patricia's like, she's supposed to be with you. Mm. And he goes, well, she's not answering her phone.
Mm.
So mom goes into mom mode, starts calling. Brittany's phone just rings and rings and rings. She doesn't pick up, and she's like, something's wrong. And then she calls Jeff back, and he goes, oh, it's okay. I'm pulling in my house, and her car's here, so she just must still be asleep. So he hangs up. Jeff, his mom, and dad walk into Jeff's bedroom to find Brittany murdered in the bed.
What?
Jeff walks in.
Not literal what?
We do this all the time. What? Jeff comes home, finds Brittany. His mom calls 911.
Hold on, so who was the first one that walked in? Did he walk in and it was like he yelled for his mom and dad, or?
Yeah, he walked into the bedroom and found her and then hollered for his mom and dad. His mom calls 911 and they're like, we just walked in. My son's girlfriend is, there's blood everywhere and it's apparent she's been killed. Later on that evening, you know, the police come, they look at the crime scene, they take their photos and everything. And one thing they noticed was she had no clothes on, and her clothes were neatly folded beside the bed. But she had her pants, her bra, her shirt, but her underwear were missing.
So she was like nakey, and the pants, underwear, and shirt were all folded neatly beside the bed.
Yes.
And so not underwear. Pants, underwear, and bra. Pants, shirt, and bra.
Right.
And underwear is missing.
Yes. And Jeff says that she went to sleep in one of his t-shirts and her underwear. The police notice that they go in the bathroom and they notice that there's soap in the bottom of the shower and it smells like somebody just got out of the shower and there's water dripping from the shower head. So you know when you walk into a bathroom and you can tell somebody just got out of the shower. Mm-hmm. So you can still smell that smell.
So I'm trying to pay attention because I'm trying to, my Scooby-Doo thing fucked me up, Mom. So I'm trying to like piece these together. Okay, so the people who live in the house is Mom, Dad, Jeff, and a brother, right?
No, sister.
Sister.
Okay, younger sister. Sister.
Younger sister. Okay, and they all were gone at 7 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, no, I'll tell you, he woke up at 7.
Oh, so that doesn't mean that they left at 7. He just woke up at 7.
Correct.
Okay. So they all left, came back.
And then the sister was at school.
Okay. And does she usually fold her clothes and stuff? I mean, before she goes to bed, did she fold them or were they just thrown on the ground?
No, it was, they was like neatly folded, so I don't know if she'd done that just because she was at Jeff's house. I'm sure she probably don't do it at home, but who knows? She may have, but I don't know.
I just didn't know if he noticed if she's the one that folded them or if the killer folded them. You know what
I don't
mean?
Know.
Weird. Okay.
So, later on that evening, the police go to Patricia's house and they let her know that Brittany had been killed. And the first thing Patricia said was, that son of a bitch boyfriend just killed her. And she had told them that they had an on-again, off-again relationship. They had split up a few weeks ago. And when they were split up, Brittany had hooked up with another boy. And she ended up telling him about it. And she thinks he got mad and killed her. So
that, she told him that night, or she told him whenever they got back together?
Well, I don't know when she told him, but she did tell him. So, police, obviously, question Jeff. He states that Brittany got to his house around 5 a.m., woke him up from the couch. He stated they went to his bed, they went back to sleep. He got up around 7 a.m. He went outside, and his dad was working on the car. At that time, his little sister's boyfriend, named Chad Carr, pulled up and stated he was there to pick up a check. Jeff tells him that they are leaving to go see his grandma in Dallas, and Brittany is inside asleep. Jeff and his family stated they left the house around 9 a.m. to go to Dallas to his grandma's. And he figured that once Brittany woke up, she would go to her house, and then they would get together later that afternoon when he got back. On his way back from Dallas, he had tried to call Brittany a few times with no answer. He then called Brittany's mom, like he said, and asked if she had seen Brittany, and that's when she had said, no, she's supposed to be with you. And then he was getting ready to pull into the driveway and said she must have been sleeping.
So from what his account is, then the last person that would have been around Brittany was the sister's boyfriend, from what he's saying, right? Is that what I'm getting at?
Well, I mean, that was all there. The sister's boyfriend just picked up a chick and...
Oh, while they were there?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
And then gave it to him, and then he left.
Okay.
And... the police also stated that Jeff told this guy that he was going to leave some money underneath a gnome outside of his door. You know, a garden gnome.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to put money under there, and that guy needed to come and pick up that money and leave him some weed. So he was texting him about this. And... when he got back home, the money was gone, but there was no weed. So, it appeared that they thought that she had been sexually assaulted because she had no clothes on, but she was severely beaten with an unknown object. Her autopsy revealed that she died from massive head trauma. However, in the autopsy, it showed no signs of sexual assault. The police collected blood evidence, and like I said, they noticed the shower, the soap, and Ted was dripping. But they also knew that only a handful of people knew Brittany would be there, because this was the first time she had ever went to her boyfriend's and stayed. And she usually just went home. So they had to limit it down.
That's kind of confusing of, like, I'm trying to think of this in a younger mindset, you know? But I don't see why she would go to her boyfriend's house after work at 5 o'clock and just for a few hours to sleep, for him to wake up and then be leaving. Like, why not go home and just see him later?
Well, Jeff stated that they had planned that. He had asked her to come over that morning and just stay because he was going to Dallas to see his grandma and he wouldn't be home until later that afternoon. So at least they could see each other. This was supposed to be kind of the day that, or the time that she could see him before she saw him shortly before she went back to work and he got back from Dallas. They tried to narrow it down. Obviously, Jeff and the parents knew Brittany was there. It was also stated that Brittany's grandfather lived not far from Jeff's house and he could see Brittany's car there from his house. And it was known that Brittany had just told her sister that she had been getting sexually abused for several years from her grandpa. So they questioned grandpa, looked into grandpa because could have been, he was worried that she would say something. But he was quickly ruled out because they said he worked all day. And they found that out. Police then questioned Chad Carr, which is Jeff's sister's boyfriend. Because after questioning Jeff and he stating that Chad knew Brittany was there, he would have also known no one would be home because he knew they was leaving. So Chad had recently been released from prison for hitting a woman in the head with an object and he had served 10 years.
Oh, he, that's not suspicious or a red flag for dating my sister, I don't know.
And he is older, and sister is still in high school.
Yeah, I thought of that, but I wasn't going to interrupt again because I've been interrupting a lot. And I didn't know if, like, how young Sister was. So it's like she about to graduate and he's just getting...
Yeah.
Like, is it that weird, awkward period or what?
No, I don't know the age difference. I do know he's older. So Chad had stated that he had went and picked up that chick. He had some errands to run. Then he had an eye doctor's appointment. And they found out that when he went for his eye doctor's appointment, he called them and told them he was going to be late. So he was like 30 minutes late for his appointment. And they had asked him to do a polygraph test, and he failed a polygraph test.
But we know that those tests can be failed for a lot of reasons.
Correct. That's our double standard. Don't ever take a polygraph. But when we investigate, we want you to take a polygraph. Why didn't you just take a polygraph? So, May 21st of 2007, they executed a search warrant for Chad Carr's residence, where several items were collected, including one pair of white shorts with possible bloodstains, a gray ski mask, and two pairs of women's undergarments. One being the size of his girlfriend, which is Jeff's sister's, and the other one being the size of Brittany's.
So why was Jeff ruled out, though?
Because he was in Dallas all day with his grandma.
But that doesn't...
He was still a person of interest, but they're looking at all the people that would have known she was there.
Okay.
So in January of 2008... Chad's girlfriend, which is sister,
mm-hmm.
met with the investigators, stating that Chad's behavior on the day of the murder was suspicious. She stated he was furious at the fact that Brittany was allowed to stay all night at their house, and he was never allowed to spend a night there. She's a freaking high school girl.
So...
but...
Wait.
Okay.
Well, like, I see... Hold on. I kind of see both sides here. I'm like... Because, like, a part of me is... Okay, yeah, that could be annoying in, like, an immature mindset. You know, if you're not seeing the side of... Your girlfriend's still in high school and everything. Then, obviously, you're not going to be staying the night. Right? And then, on the other hand of it... Yeah, if he's mad about that, then maybe that is weird. I guess, but is he mad enough to kill her?
Right.
Because that doesn't sound mad enough to kill somebody, to me. But maybe I just don't have a killer mindset. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he was mad because he thought she stayed all night there, which in reality she didn't. She just got there that morning.
Right.
But she had also stated that Chad was acting really funny. And that day when he picked her up from school, he had leaned over and gave her a kiss, and she smelled like he had just got out of the shower and smelled like her soap.
Dun, dun, dun.
So she had asked him, did you just take a shower? And he's like, yeah, soap. She goes, did you like take a shower at my house? Because that smells like my soap. And he kind of, you know, ignores that question.
That's funny that he would... So let's say that he did do this, because right now we don't know. This is like assuming, right? So let's say he did do this and he did take the shower. I'm assuming there's guy soap there, because there's the brother and the dad. So there's got to be guy soap there. Why would he choose the girl soap?
I don't know.
I try to get...
Unless you're in a hurry.
Right, that's true. But I'm trying to get Devin to use my soap before, and he's like, no, I'm not going to use your soap. I'm like, it's not even a girly smell. Just use my soap. It's fine. And he's like, no, I'm not using your soap.
See, so, Dad will use mine. It don't bother him.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like let loose on it a little bit more now, but he really had that thing of like, using girl's soap.
Well, maybe if you just committed murder and needed to hurry.
Right, maybe it's just the rush aspect of it. He's like, I don't care.
So, the police, like I said, they did DNA testing, they did blood stains testing, all of that, and then they also, like, tested the drains and stuff like that.
Oh.
Well, they didn't get anything. except the people that live there.
Like hair follicles from the dream and stuff?
Like hair follicles, blood, you know.
Can you find blood in a train?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, they should always, like, look at trains and stuff.
This is the first time I've heard about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the police are saying whoever done this, like, drop no DNA anywhere.
How?
Because there's no other DNA there. Except the people that live there.
So it has to be somebody who lives there.
Yes. So.
The boyfriend. So, what's his name? His boyfriend.
Chad Carr.
Would his DNA not be in the house too, though?
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Right. I mean he could have.
Well, he was outside that day. He didn't go in. Because they was out working on the car. And he picked up the check out of the car.
Okay. Well, still, if he's like her boyfriend, if he's there regularly, and if he's allowed inside.
Right.
Unless he's not allowed inside, then.
Well, that was never stated, yeah. So. So, September 1st of 2022.
2022?
Yes.
So this went from 2007 to 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Wood County Sheriff in Texas stated that an arrest warrant has been obtained and Chad Carr was arrested.
What?
In the probable cause affidavit, the underwear found could have been Brittany's, and the fact that there's holes in his alibis, he failed the polygraph test, and he knew Brittany was there. And no one else would be home, and he had had a prior conviction of aggravated assault.
That doesn't sit right with me, though. That doesn't sit right with me. Because, like, yeah, in my head, he does seem like, from the information that was given, he does seem like he would be the more culpable. But to have a jump of that many years and then just suddenly be like, yeah, we knew all this information 10 years ago, exaggerating, 10 years ago, then now, just now, we're gonna go ahead and go through with it. That's weird.
Well, November 30th of 2022, Carr was released from Wood County Jail because Wood County grand jury had found that there was not enough evidence to indict him for the murder of Brittany McClellan. And still, to this day, there have been no other arrests or charges.
You need to stub your toe. How can you do that to us? How can you do that to us?
Do what? Do what?
You need to pre-warn me, okay?
I did pre-warn you.
No. Not correctly.
I said at the end, you would be like, WTF.
Okay, that wasn't correctly, okay? I figured I'd be going through a whirlwind of emotions, thinking it was this person, it was this person, it was this person, it was this person. Okay, that's what was going through my head. I was scooby-dooing this shit, okay?
So then, who took a shower right before the police got there?
She did. Was the eye doctor
appointment? I don't know for sure. It was like around 1 or 2, maybe.
So from 9 a.m. until 1, then he just decided, I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna kill her?
I don't know.
Why did the mom instantly think that it was the boyfriend? Did they, like, what was the bad relationship? So let's say that Avery was dating some guy, and let's say I didn't like him. I just had a bad vibe from him. Or something like that. Or like maybe I just didn't think that he treated her as well. If she does die at his house, I wouldn't. My first thought wouldn't be he killed her. Unless there was like abuse going on.
Well, from what I could tell on when you hear the mom talking, he just wasn't as vibrant in. They just didn't like him. And then the mom had said one time that he said something about, you don't want to see me angry, or something like that. So he had made some little comments, but I don't know why.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not worried too much about the fresh sour smell.
Really?
Yeah, unless like there's like still kind of steam and like you still have that waft of steam or like that waft of warmth, like it was that fresh, then I would be. But well, just the smell.
Why?
I feel like a shower smell can stick for a minute.
For like how long now?
I don't know. Like it's just not enough to make me, I guess it's not enough to make me change my mind from the boyfriend to the guy. Which I just don't I don't know the motivation between either one. Because just the, oh, she can stay over but I can't aspect is a little crazy. Unless like it's a sexual thing and there's like beef between them from before and he just, I don't know. That doesn't seem like a reason to kill her.
I don't know.
Well, you need to know. You need to answer my questions. If you're giving me a missing person, that's
it's not a missing person.
A cold case, pretty much, then you gotta give me more information. Okay? I'm about to ban cold cases. I can't do them. It messes with my head. I'm gonna wake up from a dead sleep tonight. I'm gonna,
it was Carr. There's a few podcasts out there that covers it, and there's just not a lot. There's some news articles and things like that, but as of right now, they, like the police said, there's like no DNA there of who done it. And I just don't understand how that can be.
Yeah. I don't understand on how it could, because like the DNA aspect is kind of more damning to me than the shower aspect. You know what I mean?
So how, yeah, but I mean the shower aspect could be anybody taking a shower.
Right.
I mean.
So like, I don't understand on how they can try to convict Carr or Chad.
Yeah, I don't know if the police was just under pressure. You know how sometimes they get, and the only evidence they have against anybody is him when the girlfriend came forward and his suspicious behavior that day. Mm-hmm. And then finding that pair of underwear, failing the lie detector test, and knowing Brittany was there. If Jeff would have just been like, hey, here's the check, you know, would she still be alive? And not said, Brittany's in there asleep and we're leaving. You know what I mean? I don't understand why that information was given. So you're just coming up to get a check and,
or
like, here, I gotta get a check. And he says, Brittany's inside asleep.
Were they in cahoots?
I don't know.
They could have been in cahoots. He was like, hey man, I know you like beating up girls. Why don't you go beat up my girl?
I'm sure he said it just like that too.
He was like, you know, we took a break.
Allegedly.
And
say that again. Allegedly.
Allegedly? Do I say it weird?
You did that first time. You said allegedly.
That's my homeboy talk, okay?
Oh, but, okay. Sorry.
I'm back in character.
Oh, you're back in character? Okay. Scooby-Doo to the rescue.
Scooby-Doo. Anyways.
Where are you?
So, yeah, he was like, hey, man. So she went and she this other dude, and I'm not about that, so you should go. We're going to my grandma's. She's upstairs.
She's not upstairs.
She's in my room.
So this is the interesting thing about the house. Okay. It's a house, but then there's a side room. Remember the house we lived in where you have the house and then you had what was Tabitha's room for a little bit? It's kind of like that, and that was his room. So it was kind of his own little studio apartment, you know, out there. Yeah. And that was his room.
So we're talking about the drug dealer. What if the drug dealer did it?
Well, the drug dealer said he had ended up telling
him. Yeah. So you didn't leave that weed.
Right.
You took the money, but you didn't leave the weed.
Well, he told Jeff he did, because Jeff kept texting him, hey, have you made it there yet? Hey, have you made it there yet? Blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And he said he finally told him, yeah, I did, but he said he never showed up.
Was his shirt ever found?
Who's, huh?
Jeff's shirt. Because he said that she fell asleep in his shirt and her underwear, but the underwear was missing. So where was her shirt? Was the shirt found?
I don't know. Maybe she had her shirt on. I don't know.
So was her whole body beat up or just her head?
It was pretty much her head.
And that was the only, like, that was the only injury, was just bullet force trauma.
To the head. With an unknown object.
They couldn't kind of try to piece together if a rock, a fist, a trophy, a bat?
It just says, I mean, if the police know, they're not sane. I know. I hate it when police keep information.
I know. Like, the look.
Like, they need to do an investigation or something.
You're obviously not doing your investigation very well. And or you need some help.
Yeah.
You need help.
You need to tell us. So.
It's been years now. You need help.
We know.
Let us help you.
And there's no.
We know it.
You know, like, when somebody gets arrested, then they do a probable cause affidavit, so you can usually see what it is the officer is saying he found to give the probable cause to arrest this person.
Right.
But he went into a grand jury, and everything said in there is confidential and nobody knows. So
why?
It's like you don't know what evidence, all the evidences they have.
Why?
Obviously not enough, but.
Why not just say?
I don't know.
Nobody likes secrets, okay?
Right. There was a case I was looking up. It was here because I was looking it up.
Talk about secrets.
Yeah, it was in Indiana. And I was trying to find the probable cause affidavit. And suckers went to frickin' grand jury. I can't remember.
Remember it.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's not like we know anything because it went to grand jury.
Well,
so, I don't know.
What's that mean? Going to
grand jury. So they go, the prosecutor and police officers go in and they bring people up to testify in front of jury people.
I could be, like, anybody off the street could be chosen.
Yeah, if you're called in. And they bring it in, and then that jury decides, is there enough evidence to indict this person and bring charges against him? I don't know. Anyways, that's my story this week.
That's such a violent crime,
bah,
too.
Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, it was.
Because why? Like, that had to be anger. That was anger.
But was it anger from a boyfriend or anger from a guy that was mad because he couldn't stay all night with his girlfriend?
But, yeah, that just doesn't add up to me. I don't know. I would say I'm just going more towards the boyfriend, honestly. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a boyfriend. I don't like it when you do that. Because I feel like you know something I don't.
Well, I... What?
You do that with things, and then it's like your mom look of, like... That's probably what it is. It reminds me of my teenage years, whenever you would just be like, and then I would, like, have to spill all my beans to you.
What?
Because it stresses me out.
What?
Like, they know. People know. They know that mom look. Don't even. Moyes.
The family has a Facebook account that's called Who Killed Brittany McClone. If you guys want to go on there and look at that. Don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts, hit like, subscribe, leave a review, and we'll call you out on the show.
Go to Spotify, go to TikTok, Facebook, website, anything and everything. We have text messaging, we have email, it's all on the website.
Yeah, like I said, this week was brought by a listener. Do you know what you're doing next? Okay. Well, until next week, thank you guys all for listening.
Thank you.
So we hope you guys have a great week.
Have a great week. Have a great Mother's Day. Have a great birthday. It's your birthday.
See you next week, guys.
Bye, Obsessedies.
Bye, Obsessedies.